You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The government of Bougainville, an island in Papua New Guinea, has moved to open mining applications to developers, ending a moratorium on mining that has been in place for more than 40 years. Bougainville's autonomous government has proclaimed independence for years, but has yet to be recognised by the mainland. Its president, John Momus, says the reopening of mining exploration will enable a much-needed boost to the economy in preparation for a scheduled independence vote in 2019. However, the damage from the Panguna mine on the island, which was run by British-Australian company Rio Tinto from 1972 to 1989, still remains. Runoff from the copper mine devastated the rivers on the island, and Bougainville itself received little of the profits that came out of it, factors that eventually sparked a civil war on the island. Bougainvillean separatists in opposition to the mine fought Papua New Guinea troops for 10 years, resulting in the deaths of up to 20,000, and eventually Rio Tinto was forced to abandon the mine. David Parham is a non-renewable resource analyst at the Sustainability Accounting Standards Board, and I spoke with him about what this latest move by Bougainville means for environmental and regional stability in the region.
One of the more drastic examples that I've come across, certainly, of how, you know, the kind of externalities that a mining project can create for, you know, the local community that is near the project can have very far-reaching and significant implications. And, you know, for us, we really focus on trying to find sustainability issues that are for companies that are really likely to have significant impacts on that company's ability to profitably do its business, and just about every single one was a major issue at the Panguna mine. So certainly would agree with you that it's pretty momentous thing, and certainly depending on how it goes, it could be a really positive story of how, you know, a challenging past turned into something positive for the community. But there's also, of course, a lot of carrying concerns, I'm sure, and based on what, you know, from what I've read, that's going on currently, it's, you know, that some of the same concerns are still there for the local population, but maybe it's a chance for a new start and hopefully a more positive outcome.
Yeah. I mean, there's obviously still those environmental concerns. I mean, I think it's interesting because part of the reason the government is justifying bringing this back is that they want the money to be spent on the cleanup, which Rio Tinto refused to pay out for. So, I mean, it seems almost like there could be an endless cycle to this, and that mining is needed to clean up the mining that has gone on previously. I mean,
yeah, that's really tough, and I think that's one thing that obviously the mining industry is, I think it's gotten better at, although I think it's becoming more of an issue as a lot of these large mines are getting pretty old in their life, and a lot of them are going to be being shut down over the next, you know, 5 to 10 years. And, you know, these companies nowadays have plans and, you know, capital set aside to do the proper remediation and close the mines out in a way that doesn't leave lasting environmental effects. But certainly, to your point, that's something that companies are planning to do now and should be managing actively, you know, setting that money aside as the projects mature. But in the cases of old mines like Panguna, which, and this is a pretty unique situation, but you're right, if the only way to clean it up is to start it up and potentially create more problems, then I think that's something that hopefully, if they were to announce what their development project would look like in detail, would include a, you know, a pretty clear description of what their plan is for both remediation and, you know, ongoing management while the mine is operating to, you know, hopefully prevent things from getting worse and getting stuck in that cycle that you mentioned.
So that's what's required, do you think? A bit of transparency on the Bougainville's government's part? I mean, because the laws have changed, and I think what you're saying is that some companies have changed in how they run their operations in terms of considering environmental concerns. But I mean, do you think we could see a possible repeat? Or do you think that the industry is now so much more different to what it was?
That's a great question. And you know, to be perfectly honest, I have no idea. A lot of it depends on, for us, what we really focus on is trying to, structure ways that companies can talk about the way that they manage these sorts of issues, and not just talk about how they manage them, but also have, metrics and numerical indicators that they provide to their investors, in our case, to very clearly communicate what their actual performance is on managing these issues. And I think that sort of transparency is not only important for investors, which tend to be what our organization focuses on, but, for a broad range of stakeholders that are impacted by mining operations. And so there's, a lot of the large mining companies now, they produce reports like sustainability reports or corporate citizenship reports that try to describe the way that they manage these issues proactively, and what their impacts are and what their performance is. That's not to say that doesn't prevent bad things from happening, but I think the trend for having more transparency and that for that information to be available to communities, to governments, to NGOs, to investors, I think that's all very positive, and it doesn't solve the problem, but I think a more informed populace can be better engaged on these issues, and hopefully by being informed, it will prevent the type of thing that happened at the Panguna mine, 50 years ago now.
Yeah, it's a long time, but obviously that's still a very lasting image on the region.
Absolutely.
So with taking into consideration whether a mining company is able to operate ethically, I mean, is there a problem with Bougainville specifically? I mean, what are mining companies drawn to, do you think, when it comes to Bougainville? Is it that it's more exploitable than other regions?
It's an interesting question. And, unfortunately, I don't know that I'm the best to answer that, just not being as familiar with the kind of the regional politics and the history other than just the reading that I've done. But I think, different companies have different levels of maturity when it comes to transparency around these types of sustainability issues and maturity in terms of managing them, that experience where they may have other operations that have similar issues and they've found effective ways to prevent those externalities from impacting the community. And they've come up with systems, for example, some large mining operators have very, in-depth systems to try to ensure that communities have the opportunity to raise grievances before, they escalate to the point that, there's harm being done on either side. And I think mining companies recognize that it's kind of in their best interest to proactively manage some of these issues, because when they, escalate, as happened in Panguna and has happened in other places in the world, it ends up being bad for everybody, really. It's obviously extremely disruptive and can be tragic for the community. It certainly doesn't help the company, both through, reputational harm and direct harm to them not having access to resources and potentially being perceived, when they try to go get business in other countries as not being the best partner. So I think, to some extent, there's been some development in the industry's understanding of these issues, but to talk specifically about Bougainville, it'll really depend on what Bougainville Copper Limited's plan is to manage those issues, and whether they adopt some of the similar strategies that some other mining companies that have had success managing these issues, whether they adopt similar strategies, or I think obviously they'll need to tailor it to their approach to the history that of that mine and what the ongoing concerns are. And you know, certainly the from my understanding of the recent legislation that was written, it's pretty strict about requiring consent from the community, and you know, defining who owns the land as being the local community. So it'll be really interesting to see what the developer of the mine chooses to do to manage these issues.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.